Well, we're going to spend about 20 minutes or so discussing a segment of the Christmas story. So, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. And we're going to start in verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Who here has seen Charlie Brown Christmas? Okay, most of you. It's probably my favorite Christmas movie, partially because it's one of the shortest Christmas movies out there, but it's also very sweet and very funny. But also, the core theme of it is, what is Christmas all about? What is the point of all the festivity? And I love it because Linus quotes the verses that we just read. It's a different version, but he quotes those verses, and he makes the claim that these verses are what Christmas is all about. So, I want us to take a brief look at that. In verse 8, it says, "In the same region, there are some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, Jesus has just been born in the preceding verses, if you look backward. And it turns out that in the region, there are just some men working the night shift. They are just there doing their job, watching over sheep, make sure nothing bad happens to them, make sure they don't lose any. And it's just another normal evening for them. And then, suddenly in verse 9, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, ponder for a moment that you are working at your local restaurant, be it Chick-fil-A or somewhere else, or if you have another job somewhere. Just so happens you unfortunately have to work the night shift. And you're sitting there and you're just doing job, and suddenly there's this flash of light, and it doesn't go away. It stays there, brilliant, and this person shining is now standing next to you. I don't know about you, but I would be a little freaked out by that if that suddenly happened to me. And the shepherds certainly were. It says they were terribly frightened. And then we get to verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" Okay, well, why shouldn't you be afraid of something that apparently miraculous that has just happened right in front of you when you were just minding your own business? Why shouldn't you be scared that something completely unexpected has just happened in your life? Why shouldn't you be afraid? He says, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." That phrase has been said a lot. It's said all the time during Christmas. But we need to pause on it so that we don't lose track of what's being said. This isn't just news that he's about to give to the shepherds. It's good news. It's not just good news in and of itself. It's good news of joy. And not just any kind of joy, you know, you're happy. No, great joy. And not only is it good news of great joy for the shepherds, it's good news of great joy which will be for all people without exception. Doesn't matter who that person is, doesn't matter where they live, doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter whether male or female, doesn't matter their ethnicity. Every single person has a reason to hear whatever this is and know that it's good, and that it should give them great joy. Well, why? Well, what is so amazing? What is so wonderful? What is so joyful that no matter who you are, if you heard this message and understood what it meant, you would be full of joy and you would know that's good news? Well, he says in verse 11, the angel says, "For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So that's the good news of great joy for all people. A Savior has been born. Now, he doesn't give any clarification here. A Savior from what? What is he saving from? But we know in the previous verses in Matthew chapter 1, go ahead and turn there and just look at it. It's just before there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. An angel is speaking with Joseph in a dream, and he says that Mary is going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from what? From their sins. See, God is perfect. He expects a standard of perfection from all people. And any person might aim for perfection and try to meet God's standard, but they'll always miss the mark. It won't take long to figure out that even though you might try and try and try to be righteous, try to appease God, try to do what's right, try to do the right things, you're going to miss the mark. And as a result, you're in sin. You aren't even close. And even if you aren't aiming for perfection, you're just trying to do what you think is right, you know, trying to do what you think is moral, what is good. But it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Christ. It just has to do with your own standard of what morality should be. Even that doesn't cut it. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds, what we think is righteous, what we would consider from our standard, that's a good thing. They're like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." In missing the mark of God's standard, we sin, and God must judge sinners. He will judge every sinner, and that judgment is inevitable. You're not going to escape from it. His wrath will be dispensed, but there is salvation to be found. And that's why this news is so good. Because there's salvation from judgment. A Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. And he's going to live perfectly. He's never once going to miss the mark. And he's going to take the judgment that we deserve when he dies on the cross. But not only that, he's going to prove that he fully satisfied God's judgment for sin by rising again from the dead, conquering death. And that's the message that the angel is proclaiming. But then it gets even better than that. He doesn't just tell them, "All right, here's what's happening. There's a Savior that's been born. Peace out. I'm gone." No. Verse 13. "And suddenly, as soon as he's spoken these words, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host." Okay, what's that? The word for host is not choir. The word for host is not a whole bunch of little baby cherubs. It's army. A massive amount of angels that, as far as we would be able to tell based on the use of this word, is ready for battle, dressed in an arrayment where they're about to go to war or ready to go to war if they have to. An army of angels shows up. And why do I say that? I say that because God is often referred to as the Lord of hosts. And so these shepherds who have been minding their own business, working the night shift, an angel appears to them and they're freaked out by that. And they're told this message, and then so many more angels show up, ready for what looks to be some kind of battle. They should be freaking out right now, probably. But then here's what the heavenly host does. They were praising God and saying, brief aside here, they weren't singing. Now, unfortunately, I love songs that talk about the angels singing, and so we shouldn't, we're too far gone to change any of the Christmas songs that have that. But brief aside there. They were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The angels praise God and make a declaration not of war, but of peace. But notice the qualifier. Peace among men with whom he is pleased. There will not be peace with men with whom he is not pleased. He will go to war against those people. He will judge those people. So the army is still there for a reason. So the question then is, how do you get in favor with God? How do you take advantage of what Jesus Christ, the Savior, has done? Romans 8, 1 through 2 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. If you are in Christ, that means that you are in favor with God. But what does that look like? Well, before I get into that, really quickly, here at Countryside, and I've been here for a little over 2 years, almost 2 years now, Tom talks a lot about sin and talks a lot about what you ought to do to be right before God. Justin talks about it a lot and brings it to your attention every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning when he talks. The rest of us here, the rest of the teachers, they constantly talk about this issue, the issue of sin and salvation from God's judgment of sin and being made right with God. Why? Because if you don't recognize your condition before God for what it really is, and you know that you can't be saved from judgment unless you repent, then you're facing eternal judgment. And we don't want that for you. We love you. We don't want to see that happen. And that's why we constantly bring it up here. And that's why the news is so joyous. We cannot truly obey God from the heart. We cannot truly be righteous. We cannot truly be saved from sin unless we, and unless you, if you are not saved here tonight, unless you repent of your sin, which is refusing to want to pursue sin against God, disobedience to God and what he's commanded in his word, unless you choose to refuse that and desire to turn the other way, but recognize that the only way you can do that is because Christ took the penalty for your sins. He's the only one that can make you righteous. Nothing that you can do can make you righteous. As much as you might want to be righteous, nothing can make you righteous except Christ. And you trust in him alone for what he did on the cross in taking that punishment and in conquering death. You put your faith in him and you trust that he is the one who can provide what you need in order to be righteous. And then you obey him and you listen to his law and you follow after his commandments. Believing and trusting in Christ's sacrifice is the only thing that can save you. And that's the message that the angel proclaims to the shepherds. He says, there is great news to be had because before you were in sin, all people were facing judgment from God. But now a Savior has been born and he's going to save you if you will take hold of what he offers, if you will repent and if you will pursue him. And so that's why we're here. That's why true believers celebrate Christmas. That's why we dress up in ridiculous sweaters and we hang lights and we sing songs and we pass around presents. Tradition is helpful, but it's not just we're doing that because that's what you do on Christmas. No, we're doing it because there's such joy. There's such happiness because we know that Christ came to be a savior from us, to save us from our sins. It's about Jesus, who, when all of humanity had rejected God, and was facing deserved eternal judgment with no hope of escape, he came to walk among us and to become our Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that we can just briefly look into this passage from Luke to be reminded why we celebrate this holiday season and why it's so precious to us. And I pray that we would not lose sight of that throughout the rest of not just this season, but the rest of our lives, knowing that you came to save us, gave us the opportunity to be rescued from your wrath, and we can then serve and honor and follow and love you. In your name, amen.